So the sugya that we are doing now, it's kind of two sugyas in one, right? Minchas Chote, Minchas Kenaos. The Gemara, the Mishnah, right, introduces the idea that both Minchas Chote and Minchas Kenaos are possible if they're done Shelo Lishma, right? Remember, the Minchas Chote is brought in cases of a carbon olav yored. You have someone who's done an avera which mandates that carbon, right? For example, someone who was supposed to new edus and they did not deliver it, right? So there's a, in Vayikra we're told, they have to bring a carbon. And there are three options, right? You can bring it, it can be an animal, and then depending on your wealth, you may bring it as a bird, or the pasuk says bring it as a mincha, that's the minchas chote. And the minchas kenos is the mincha which is brought as part of the sota process. So the Mishnah said that both of those, if the avoda was then shalom l'shma, it's pasul. Not kasha v'lo al l'bailim, like regular karbanos. And the Gemara on Daf Aleph gives us the makoros for that. Initially, the Gemara suggests that there should be a very direct derivation from chatas. The minchas chote itself is called a chatas, while the minchas knaos, the term avon appears. So that's the Gemara's first proposal. Right, that minchas chote is a form of chatas, while the minchas kenaos has a hakesh avon. And then the Gemara runs into a problem because asham should have the same story, and the Gemara's maskana is that there's a gzer shava. The word he is used for minchas chote, used for minchas kenaos, and also used for chatas. So that is linking them to chatas for the purpose of the psul shelo lishma. So that leaves us with two major questions to ask. The first question is a local one about the Minchas Chote and the Minchas Kenaos, which is, to what degree are these chatas, lemaskana, and to what degree are they not? Right? We seem to be learning the laws that the Shelo Lishma is possible from chatas. Is that indicative of a broader relationship between these two karbanos and the karban chatas, or not necessarily, right? That's the local question in terms of defining these two karbanos. And in the background is a broader question, the one that Rabbi Kraft discussed in his opening Chabura to Menachos, which is, what is the relationship between the world of Menachos and the world of Zvachim? We're comparing these menachos, the minchas chote and the minchas kenaos, to chatas. So that means that we are trying to cross over from the world of menachos to the world of zvachim. How exactly is that going to work? Yeah, Rabbi Brand?
Sorry, not really, but you're saying that the conclusion of Gemara has a hekesh or gzeira shava?
I think it's a gzeira shava.
So I'm not sure, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because I think it's important for the point that you're raising now.
Okay.
It wasn't clear. I'm not sure how you see that there's gzeira shava in the conclusion of Gemara. The Gemara says, because it says chatas as the word he, so also over here it has the word he. That makes me read that it's a gzeira shava, or the Gemara is saying, just like in the chatas we have a drasha, he is exclusive, so to minchas chote, minchas kenaos, we darshan in those local places that it's exclusive, but it's not because he is derivative, it's a derivative from chatas.
Interesting. I hadn't read it that way. That could work very well with the Rambam.
I think it's in contrast to what the Gemara said earlier, mm-hmm. Where the Gemara actually tried to compare the two. And
very interesting. I'd be very happy if that was true. I have been under the impression that it was a gzeira shava, but if it's independent limud, I don't know.
I read it not as informal gzeira shava also. I read it more as, which creates a starker contrast between the halamina and the maskana.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
mm-hmm.
I read it more also as a more stark of a contrast. That also, because for sure the way Tosos seems to, right, Tosa says, oh, the he here, it tells you how to learn, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like it's actually a formal Xer Shava, it's a drusha that exists, and now because you know that this drusha exists in one place, so now that can inform you how to read other he's. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, That's how I also thought the Tosfos was reading the Gemara, mm-hmm. not as a formal. You
know? Okay, that would be great. That would be great. Thank you for raising the point. Okay. So when we, as we said, we have these two, the two questions you have to ask, local question, right, to what degrees are these achatas, and then there's a broader question, relationship between menachos and zvachem. So we'll focus on the first one first. I think the way we'll structure the chabura is we'll focus initially on the minchas kanaos, and then we'll circle back to the minchas chote. Because the minchas kanaos in particular seems really fundamentally different from chatas, and it seems even fundamentally different from karbanos in general. Already looking at Torah Shebichsav, the gaps jump out, right? So in terms of location, so the Minchas Chote, for example, is smack in the middle of the first parsha of karbanos. It's in Vayikra Parakeh, right? The Torah is discussing different forms of chatas. It moves to Olav Yored. And if you have to bring an animal, use this. You're bringing your birds, right? You do this. And if you can't afford to bring a mincha, here's what you do. Squarely in the context of the classic carbon olivio, right? And in contrast, the minchas kanaos does not appear even in Sefer Vayikra at all, right? It appears in only in Sefer Dvarim Parshas Naso, the context of the Sota. You dig deeper into the psukim themselves, and one thing that jumps out, there's no kapara here, which we almost always associate with chataos. There's no ritzui like we have with karban ola. It's not doesn't seem to be improving anyone's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And actually, the exact opposite. Right, Torah says it's a minchas kinaos, minchas zikaron, mazkeres avon, right? It recalls sin. So all the mafarshim, Rashi, Ramban, yes, you're showing me getting into the Das Kinim and the Bechor Shor. So everyone reads the Pesukim Kepshuto that this is the weirdest thing ever. This is a karban which is coming to expose sin. Which, if we translate kapara as to cover up, right, look like the kapores over the aron. So a classic karban is coming to mechaper. So in a sense, that's covering up sin. So the minchas kanaos is coming levarer mezkeres avon to recall the sin. As we're going to see, the Gemara in a couple of places talks about levarer avon. Actually, sounds like the exact opposite of what karbanos generally, and for sure the karban chatas in particular, normally do. Right? We have Rashi talking about why is it called kinaos in the plural. So Rashi says it's bringing against the woman the anger of the kina of Hashem and the kina of the husband. You have the Ramban who talks about the husband basically davening to Hashem to bring his kina against his wife. The Ramban says it comes from barley because there's a connection to sa'ar, a storm, right? We're trying to bring onesh and midas adin. This is the exact opposite of what we always associate with karbanos. And then Itziv has an amazing discussion where he says, you know, this is kind of a detailed analysis. He says it's bad news for the husband and bad news for the wife, right? Because either the husband is guilty of a false accusation, and he says that's what the term minchas kinaos refers to. It's a critical perspective on the kina of the husband. Or the wife is guilty, and that's when the Torah is calling it minchas ikaron, mazkaras avon, right? Or calling her sin. And then Siv says, this is so different, right? All karbanos, he says, ein shum karban balara. No karban is ever brought for bad. Karbanos are always brought letova. So this minchas kanaos just seems completely different in terms of location in the Chumash, in terms of the goal that the psukim are describing, polar opposite of other karbanos. And what brings it out, you know, again, very clearly, is the Mishnah in Sota. And the Mishnah in Sota, black on white, says that this mincha is completely different from all other menachos. Right? Normally, their menachos are brought in a klishares, and in this case, it's coming in some ugly Egyptian basket. Normally, menachos are brought with fine wheat flour. In this case, the mincha is being brought with coarse barley flour. Mishnah quotes from Gamliel, right? The Maisa Behema idea that it uses animal food to represent the action that the woman is accused of doing, right? So we're highlighting the guilt, exposing the guilt. Mishnah's calling you completely different. And then the Gemara on Tesvav, and also the Gemara Menachos on Davvav, basically this is kind of contrasted with the Minchas Chote. Menachas Chote also differs in how it's composed from other menachos. Other menachos have, in addition to flour, they have shemen and lavona, oil and frankincense. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon, who says the reason why those ingredients are missing from the Menachas Chote is because this should not be a mehudar karba. Right? We have a Baal Tshuva here. We expect humility. We want a humble carbon, which is only going to have the soles. It's not going to have the fancy ingredients of the shemen and lavona. But the sense you get from the Gemara is that the Minchas Chote is not lacking the fundamental ingredients of a classic carbon mincha. It is lacking the additional hiddur elements of the carbon mincha, right? Which actually is meduic in the Pesukim as well. When the Pasuk introduces the Karba Mincha, or first talks about this, so the Pasuk says, so less yihyeh karbano. The Mincha is made out of flour. The atzaka, lehashemen v'nasana lehalavona. And on that Mincha, which is flour, you add oil and lavona. Those are the additional elements to the fundamental Karban Mincha. So the Mincha Schote has the same so less as classic carbanos, it's missing the additional element of hiddur. In contrast to the minchas kenos, where the fundamental carbon itself, right, the ingredients itself, this doesn't even look at all like a mincha. We could, you know, visualize what it would look like. So instead of a nice, you know, wheat lafa, so you've got some lumpy barley. It looks completely different. Its makeup is fundamentally different, right? So all signs are pointing to the Minchas Kenos being fundamentally separated from other Karbanos, in contrast to maybe the Minchas Chote, right, which is in the general Parsha. Right? So that gets really, really underlined by Rashi on Daf Hey Amid Beis. Fascinating Gemara over there, right? Kind of a preview of some coming attractions, where the Gemara says that if you do the kmitza for the Karban HaOmer Shelo Lishma, so Gemara says it's totally kosher. It's like record scratch. What? How could it be totally kosher? Right? It's Minchas HaOmer. That's a big deal, right? At least it should be kosher for all Labailim. You know, I might have thought it should be pasul because the Minchas HaOmer is so important. But you know, it's kosher legamri. And the Gemara says it has a cryptic line. It says because it's not ru'uya la'avoda, right? So what exactly does that mean? So Rishonim have a few different approaches, right? Tosus have approached the Ravid, but Rashi says, so I'll tell you what it means that it's from something from davar that's not ru'uya la'avoda. He says it comes from barley. And when is barley ever used for avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Well, we have two menachos which are made out of barley, Karban HaOmer. He says, that's not for avoda, that's just coming to Matir Chadash. And what's the other carbon which uses barley? It's the Minchas Kenaos. And Rashi says, that's not avoda either, because he says, lav avodahi de lavarer avon ka'asya. So that's awesome, right? Rashi's saying, Minchas Kenaos, this is not a carbon. This is not a voda. It's coming to be mivarer oven. It's coming to clarify, to expose sin. That's the opposite of what carbonos usually do. And nafkamina is going to be that barley is going to be halachically defined as something which is eno ro'i li avoda. Rabbi Kiva Eger, you know, Rashi there says, okay, well, once that's the case, right? Once that's the case that we're defining barley as eno ro'i li avoda, and therefore. Anything that's made out of barley should not have a psul shalol lishma, and that's why the carbon omer is going to be kosher. So Rashi says, now you have to ask, why is the minchas kenaos pasul? And Rashi says, oh, because there still is a connection to chatas, right? And Rikide is bothered. I thought that wasn't the case. Mitzvah Eisen says you have to look at the Gemara in Daf Nun Tes, where in the context of Pigul, the Gemara does connect Minchas Kenos to Chatas. So this is, you know, exposing for us, things are complicated. For certain purposes, apparently, the Minchas Kenos has a connection to Chatas, but it itself is a totally different carve. Now, if we take a step out for a second, there happens to be a parallel model, maybe a model that we can have in mind when we're trying to wrap our heads around this strange idea that the Minchas Kenos is a totally different carbon, totally different goal, but it somehow has dinim associations with Chatas. And that is another carbon, or pseudo-carbon, from Sefer Bamidbar, namely the Para Aduma. Para Aduma is not even brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam codifies it in Sefer Tara, not in Sefer Avod or Sefer Karbanos. And yet, right, Torah calls it a chatas, and repeatedly in the world of paraduma, this one is why it's so confusing. You know, is it a carbon or not a carbon? Sometimes it has dinim of chatas, and sometimes it doesn't. So that model, I think, is something we can keep in mind, something which also seems to be applied to the Minchas Kenos. It's not a carbon, it's coming for a different goal, it's a different chavtza even, right? But there are certain dinim where it is being connected to chatas. What determines when it's not? I'm not sure, but I think one suggestion to advance is that what the carbon chatas really is about is carbon chatas is almost always achieving a very specific goal. And that might be what you have in Para Aduma and in Minchas Kenos, right? You have very, very goal oriented karbanos. Maybe that is why they're both connected, for example, in the world of Psul Shelo Lishma, right? That when you have a very distinct goal, so Shelo Lishma, Shinui Kodesh, that might have a particularly devastating consequence. But, you know, that's definitely something that gets beyond the scope of the Chabura, right? When is Paraduma Chatas? When is it not? When is Minchas Kenos Chatas? When is it not? Can't really answer all the details on the spot. But I think as a basic model for conceptualizing the carbon, I think that can be very helpful. A couple of other... just to take one minute to the on the Rambam over there. Because the Rambam sounds like he's saying something that Rashi said, but I think it's actually very different, right? The Rambam, it's a classic Rambam. The Rambam really baits you, right? The Rambam says the Minchas HaOmer is kasha shelo lishma because it's not roi la'avoda, because you can't use barley for anything else, right? And then literally the same halacha, the Rambam says, oh, and if you have a Minchas Kenos which has lavona on it, and he talks about the question of pigul in that concept, in that case. But like the Rambam just waves a red flag in front of you, right? You're telling me that that the carbon omer can't be used for anything else, and then a second later you start talking about the minchas kenos, which is also made out of barley, right? So what is going on? And Mikdash David just gives a very, very elementary answer to the question, right? And Mikdash David says, but the way the Rambam understands this Gemara on Daf Hey about Ein Roi LaAvoda is it just means the item itself cannot be used for anything else. So if you have a Minchas Kenos, so if it's not used for one woman's Minchas Kenos, it could be used for a different woman's Minchas Kenos, right? He talks about Ketores. If you don't use it for today's Ketores, you could use it for tomorrow's Ketores. If you don't use birds for today's, you can use it for a different bird. Minchas HaOmer can only be used for the one annual Minchas HaOmer, right? If it wasn't used for this year's Minchas HaOmer, what are you going to use it for, right? You have to use Chadash for Minchas HaOmer, and you can't use the barley flour for Minchas Kenos because the Minchas HaOmer comes from refined sifted barley. So Mikdash David says that's, you know, the Rambam's more narrow read of the Gemara. Gemara just means it has to be something which could be used for any other, could be brought a second time. That's all it means. But Rashi had the understanding of Dava Harai Lavoda that it has to be something which is used as a karban, and that is coming to the exclusion of the minchas kenos, right? Which is not avoda. It's levar avon. Okay. So, just to recap the nafkamina that we've raised until now, before we look at a couple more, right? So the suggestion we're making about the minchas kenos is that it's really not a chatas at all. It doesn't even seem to be a mincha, right? It appears separately in the psukim. It's made of a different substance. It's levar avon, maskeres avon, the opposite of kapara. We have the Gemara contrasting it with minchas chote, which just lacks the element of hiddur, and we have Rashi telling us that it's not ro'i la'avoda, and the only thing which creates a psul shel lishma is this connection to chatas. Okay, any questions so far? We're good. Excellent. So, to raise, I think, three more pieces which show how unique the Menchas Knos is, so maybe the simplest one is the question of ownership, right? And this is what that piece in the Torah HaKodesh was talking about. I meant to bring it in. But the Torah HaKodesh, so right, we have the Knesset HaRishon HaMenachos, that's Rav Yaakov David Ilan Shlita. So his father of Mordechai Ilan wrote the original Knesset HaRishonim on Zvachim, and he wrote a big three-volume sefer on Kachim called Torah HaKodesh. And it's got a great mafteach. So if you're like looking into any Kachim topic, it can be a very kedai thing to do. Just take a look at the mafteach of Torah HaKodesh. And he often talks about the topic you're interested in. It can give you marmakoma. So this is a case. I took off the shelf. I was like, oh, does he talk about Minchas Knos? And bang, he has a piece right there about who is the owner of the Minchas Knos. Now, just a piece of background to the question. So another fundamental point in the world of Menachos, right, is that there's no such thing as a mincha which is brought by Shutvin, right? Because Torah opens up Karbanos by telling us Nefesh, right? When a Nefesh brings a mincha, and the drasha is that, that means only one person. You want to bring an Ola, that could be brought b'shutvis. You want to bring a Shlamim, that could be brought b'shutvis. Mincha has to be brought by one person. And I think the machshava behind it is that it's such a, it's being brought by the poorest of the poor. It's such a small carbon financially, right? But it's supposed to be, like the entire essence of the person who's bringing it. So, once you have shutfin running around, that just defeats the entire essence of the carbon mincha, which is a hyper-personal carbon. So, okay. If that's, literally the first halacha we have about mincha, before the Torah even mentions the word mincha, it mentions the word nefesh. This is an individual person's karban, never brought by shutvin. So the possibility that the minchas kenaos is a co-ownership karban would be another piece that would push me to say that this is not a typical mincha at all. And Rabbi Ilan, in the essay there, so he shows that there's this discussion, Rashi and the Rambam and the Yerushalmi, right? What if you have an Eishes Kohen who brings a mincha? So if a Kohen brings a regular mincha, the halacha is we do not do kmitza. It would be a joke, right? Because you could get away with bringing a karban to Hashem and then have lunch on the cheap, right? Because you give one small kmitza to the Mizbeach, and lo and behold, right now you're eating the rest of it as a mincha. So halacha is the mincha of a kohen is entirely burnt. So what about the mincha of Eishes Kohen? So there's a Gemara, I think it's a Gemara in Sota, right, which says that the Eishes Kohen Sota is also entirely burnt. And the question is, what exactly is the mincha that the Gemara is discussing? So he quotes Rashi and the Rambam, who think that it means all menachos, right? And this is just the regular principle of Masha Kansa Isha Kanabaila, right? It's a joint bank account. And as a consequence, even if it's the non-Kohen woman who's bringing the mincha, right, we still see her husband in the background, and therefore all menachos are going to be burnt. But Rabbi Ilan quotes the Yerushalmi, which says, no, this is only a halacha for the minchas kinaos itself, right? If Eishes Kohen wants to bring a regular mincha on a Tuesday, so according to the Yerushalmi, that will do kmitza, and the Kohanim will eat the rest of it like any other regular karban mincha. It is exclusively the minchas kinao, says the Yerushalmi, which, if it's brought by Eishes Kohen, it is going to be burnt entirely. And so he suggests that what the Yerushalmi believes is that the minchas kinaos is a real mincha b'shutfis. It's being brought both by the husband and by the wife. Didn't put this on the course, but yesterday Yossi and I saw, if you're interested you can look, there's a whole discussion about this also. I think I was on Sota Daf Vav Mebez. There's a Tosfos there, and a Griz, and Nesivas HaKodesh, right? Who were also, and a Rashash. Rashash also made this point over there, that the Minchas Kenos seems to be this real unicorn of a carbon, right, of a mincha. That it's a mincha b'shutvis. It's brought both by the husband and by the wife, an idea that is antithetical to the first halacha we have in the world of regular menachos, of nefesh ki sakriv mincha l'Hashem. Okay, so just a couple more examples of setting this karban apart. So we'll talk in a few minutes about the minchas chote, and one of the big discussions there is going to be what is the story of mosar minchas chote, right? And the halacha is if you set aside funds for karban and then the prices dropped. So all of a sudden, I have a lot more money dedicated to buying my carbon than I needed. So what do you do with the extra cash, right? So we'll talk about it in a few minutes, but Yehoyada HaKohen, I think it's the oldest drasha, I'm not sure if we have an older drasha, than the drasha of Yehoyada HaKohen, right? Going back to the first Beis HaMikdash. So he has a drasha. Torah says, I don't forget the details. It's like Asham, Lashem, Ashom, Asham, I don't remember exactly, but it's a steer in the pasuk, because we're calling it an Asham, which means that the Kohanim usually eat the meat of an Asham, right? But it also says that it's Lashem, which means that it should be burnt. So Yehoyada HaKohen says, the drasha is, if you have extra funds from certain karbanos, so you, or at least for sure from the Asham, and from the Chatas as well, so you will buy Olos, the animal itself will go on the Mizbeach, Lashem, and the hide, right, the skin of the Ola, will go to the Kohanim. And that's how that was the drasha of Yehoyada HaKohen for Mosros, for Chatas, and for Asham. What is the story with Mosar Minchas Kenos? Right, we had a Sota case. They designated the money to buy the barley for the Minchas Kenos. The barley market crashes. There's extra money. So what do we do? What do we do with those funds? So the Rambam never mentions what to do with Mosar Minchas Kenos. And the Merkevas HaMishnah has a one-liner where he says, it just sounds like, according to the Rambam, I guess it's not brought as any nedava at all, right? So if that's correct, Merkevas HaMishnah is right, this is another example where we're splitting off Minchas Kenos from, for sure, Minchas Chote, and then the rest of the world of Chatas as well, right? Minchas Nedava, the Rambam is going to talk about, says that you bring the extra money as a personal karban. Merkavas HaMishnah says it sounds from the Rambam that Minchas Kenos is just a completely different institution, and he doesn't say what you do with the extra money. I don't know if it's not nogea to this whole thing. I don't know. I'm not sure what you'd actually do with the dollars you had set aside, but he says you're not gonna buy any you're not gonna spend the money on karbanos. I quoted it. It's on the sheet. I think it's the last line of Bayes Bayes. I think it's Shkull and Bayes Bayes. Most of the piece there is where he's trying to work the Rambam's view of Minchas Chote back into the Gemara, and he's got like a one liner about Minchas Kenos. And the last nafkamina that I would raise, and it point earlier about what exactly the drasha of the Gemara was at the end of the day, to have a psul shelo shma for chatas really works very well with this, is if we read the Rambam carefully in Tesvav, Psuli HaMakdash in Tesvav Gimel, when he presents the psul shelo lishma. So, you know, this, I guess, only works if you come from the school that you really pay attention to the way the Rambam quotes his psukim, but that's our school. Right. The way the Rambam says it at the end, he says, you know, the chatas and the carbon pesach, why are they pasul? You may remember, right? Mibnei she'in aleihem akasa. Right, the Torah was very, very careful with how it presented these karbanos. It says for pesach asisa pesach lashem, and then at the end he says minchas choti hu amar ki chatas hi, v'minchas sota ne'amar ki minchas kinaos hi. So there's definitely no indication in the Rambam when it, you know, it says minchas kinaos hi that we're connecting that to chatas. So for if my brand are correct, this is just this really works out very nicely. This is just the Rambam reading the Gemara, but you know, regardless, we should just, you know, zero in on the conceptual point here, which is the Rambam is saying it is just because the Torah calls it minchas kinaos hi, and that sounds just like when he says for Karban Pesach zevach Pesach hu. Lashem, right, he says, what does he say? He says exactly, Pesach, Vasisa Pesach, no, what's, yes, Amartam Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem. The idea by both of these seems to be that these karbanos which are being brought for a very specific purpose, Karban Chatas Pesach Hu Lashem, Minchas Chote Chatas Hi, Minchas Kenos Hi, has nothing to do with the relationship to Chatas per se, it is just the Minchas Kenos in and of itself, right, is demanding, is creating a psul shelo lishma. I think in general, I don't know, did anybody see any point in the Rambam? I'd have to look back in Sota, but I don't recall any point in the Rambam where you got the sense that he was connecting the minchas kenaos to chatas at all. I don't think that was really at all in the Rambam, and we'd be very happy for that to be the case. The last couple of makaros is the Gemara in Zvachem and Daf Tzadi and Increases Kavav, where the Gemara very clearly says that the Minchas Kenos is not coming to be a mechaper, right? So therefore, when we're talking about which carbon comes first, the Minchas Chote or Minchas Kenos, so Minchas Chote comes first, says the Gemara, because the Minchas Chote is mechaper, and the Gemara says the Minchas Kenos is not mechaper. The Gemara in Krisis is figuring out karbanos, you know, certain karbanos which do not have to be brought once Yom Kippur has passed by. So the Gemara asks, what about Sota? What about Minchas Kenos of Sota? And the Gemara says, well, that's not relevant to this whole discussion because that's not a mechaper, says Rav and the Gemara there. It's coming levirer of them, right? So you have so many indications that the Minchas Kenos is just a completely different concept from, for sure, chatas, right? And maybe even more fundamentally, different from the whole world of karbanos, right? And we have the Parah Aduma as a bit of a model for that. Okay. Good so far?
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Parah Aduma story.
Okay.
Meaning, in what way is it similar to Parah Aduma? Or is it just that, you know, these two things don't fit into the regular categories?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that Parah Aduma and Minchas Kenos per se are similar.
Okay.
I'm saying what they share in it gives you a good model for, I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to call it a karban. A chavta, right, which is not a karban, and yet has properties of karbanos and of chatas in particular.
Yeah, the problem is that that's a little bit misleading because they come from totally different places. It's like saying that an Isha and an Eved are chayv in the same mitzvos, but they come from different places. The reason why the Parah Aduma is different is because it's called Shebedek Habayis. And so whatever properties of a carbon it has, the Gemara has to cobble together, right, and give you the various dinim.
Yeah, but why is it Perek Abay? Like the Ramban, for example, who says that the Paraduma is part of a broader system of basically anti-karbanos, right? He connects it to Egla Rufa, he connects it to Sa'ir HaMishtalayach, right? Some of these are more karban-esque than others. What they all share, you know, according to Ramban, is that there are cases where you can't achieve direct kapara. So those are going to be, you know, they're taken out of the mikdash generally. So I don't think it's just, the fact that it happens to be Perek Abayis creates these gaps. The Paraduma as a whole has a very strange relationship, a very complicated relationship with the world of Karbanos.
Right.
So
your Minchas Kenos is probably though even a little bit more extreme than the Paraduma, in the sense that the Paraduma's connection to the world of Karbanos is because it actually is called a Chatas. Right? Meaning with the Minchas Kenos you have even a less of a direct connection, because we have a Minchas Kenos Hi, which may or may not be, you know, reminiscent of Chatas or not, but it's not called a Chatas. And just putting aside the Rashi or the question about is it or is it not, but meaning there is if you look in the Torah, it's not called a Chatas.
So right.
The Paraduma's connection.
Right. On the other hand, it has the Avodos of a Mincha. Right.
I felt the opposite.
Well, I think both are true. I'm just raising Paraduma. I think it's useful as an analogy and as a model for the basic idea we're trying to get across of Menchas Kenos. Right. I don't think
there's a unique beast that has some overlap.
Right. Exactly. And with different goals. Right. You know. Made up differently, but certain common properties. Okay. So, to move over then from Minchas Kenos, right, to the other carbon that we have in our sugya, which is and they're both in Bamidbar. The Minchas Chote, right? So Minchas Chote, we began discussing. Because we had Rabbi Shimon, right, Menachos Daf Vav, who was bringing it back into the parsha of Karbanos, of Menachos in general, right? He was saying again, it lacks the hiddur. It doesn't have the shemen and levona. Those are the elements of hiddur. It's made out of Menchas Solas, right? And Rabbi Shimon even compares the Menchas Chote to Chatas, right? Because he says, what is Chatas missing? Chatas is missing the Nisafim, right? The same phenomenon, right? You bring the basic carbon without the entourage, right? You bring the chatas without the separate nisafim. You bring the minchas chote without the shemen and without the shemen and levona. So the question is going to be, how do we conceptualize the minchas chote, right? What exactly is it? And I think a very helpful frame for understanding the Minchas Chote is the piece from the article from Rav Moshe Lichtenstein that I gave out. Right. So Rav Moshe there is dealing with the very, very strange and important sugya of Mavog, one of the best names. In Zvachim Daf Tes, where the Gemara says some very, very surprising things. The Gemara asks, if you shecht a regular chatas, l'shem chatas nachshon, is that shina kodesh? What is chatas nachshon? That is, right, you look at the psukim in the end of Naso, so all the Nesiim brought their whole set of karbanos, right, which is why the last day of Hanukkah we spend so much time in shul, right, because we go through the last... seven of them, right? So the one of the karbanos that they brought was a chatas. That was just part of the dedication of the Mishkan. Doesn't seem to be for any chet per se, right? Rashi quotes the Sifri that it was brought in case one of the Nesiim had become tame and came to the Mishkan without knowing about it. But right, Pashas is that there's no concrete chet that the chatas of the miluim was brought for, as opposed to, you know, I know that I ate chaylev accidentally, I have to bring a carbon chatas. So the Gemara wants to know if there's shinui kodesh over there, right? Are these karbanos both chatas, so it would not be shinui kodesh, or no, are they fundamentally different? And it is. And we end up concluding, yeah, there is shinui kodesh, these are different karbanos. Gemara asks, what about the chatas that's brought by a mitzora at the conclusion of his purification process? The chatas brought by a nazir at the conclusion of his nazirus. Again, examples where there's no v'pashtas, no chait per se. It's just part of the process. You're a mitzora. This, you know, you bring an asham, you bring a chatas, you bring an ola. You're a nazir. You bring a chatas, you bring an ola, you bring a shlamim. And the Gemara has a line there. It says, well, there's certainly going to be shinei kodesh. These are not chataos. These are olos, right? These chataos are olos. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, there's certainly going to be shinei kodesh. So you have to, like, what does that mean? Right? That doesn't make any sense. These are not olos. These are chataos. So the frame that he sets up is we have to make a distinction between here's a three-level distinction. It's part of other parts of the essay. Actually, some of it is really important for Menachos, but not for now. We could talk about the carbon itself, right, the chavtza shel carbon, and we can talk about the maisa hakrava of the carbon, right, what is done with it. And then there's a different discussion, what is the kiyum of this carbon, right? What is this carbon trying to accomplish? So when we talk about the chatas nachshon, or the chatas of the nazir, the chatas of the mitzora. So in terms of the chavtza, or the mais hakrava, these are definitely chatos, right? They're going to be the mais, you'll do the matnas dam of the chatas, the kohanim will eat most of the basar of the chatas, right? You'll have the regular dinim of chatas. But when it comes to the question of kiyum, what is this carbon trying to accomplish? So those are not chatas on the kiyum level, because the kiyum of a chatas is what? To be machaper for chet. But there's no chet over here, right? So when the Gemara says that hani olos ninhu, it means the kiyum of these karbanos is the kiyum of an ola. It's just a doron, it's just something that's being given to Ribono Shel Olam. Why is that true? I have no idea why, you know, it's... Why is it a chatas if it's having the kiyum of an ola? But that's not our problem for now, right? What was important for us is this framework of potentially distinguishing between the carbon itself and or how it's brought versus its goal. And the maskan of the Gemara, and this makes a lot of sense, is when we want to know about shinui kodesh is going to hinge on the goal of the carbon. Right, which makes sense, because if it's all about what this carbon is trying to accomplish, chatas is possible, shel lashna, because it's trying to be mechaper for chet, and if it's going to fail in doing that, then you've completely failed. Yeah?
So that last part was actually the part that I was most bothered by.
Okay.
Because, and again, this just could be a function of how I've always viewed shinui kodesh, but to me, shinui kodesh is more... Now, if you could, maybe it could also be related to the goal, but to me, shinui kodesh is about what is the nature of the kedusha of this carbon, which is more to me a din the chefta shel carbon. Meaning, what type of the carbon is defined by its hadasha, and the shinoi of the kodesh to me is an undermining of that very kedusha.
So, I think the response to that is here's where the difference is between kasher v'lo alas versus pasul legamres, right? When we want to know if the carbon is possible, the normal rule for shinei kodesh is kasher velo alubaylim, right? Why is the chatas possible? Why is the carbon pasach possible? Those cases are exceptional in that there's a very specific kiyum that they're trying to pull off, right? And if you don't have it, then you're left with nothing. So I think it's important to raise, but I think it's specifically in the pasul legamre piece.
Okay.
That hinges on the kiyum. Okay, So I don't think that point is particularly mechudash. Some of the other stuff he has mechudash, but that point just seems to be like just that's what the Gemara is saying is Zachon Daftas about the Chatas Nachshon and Betzora and Nazir Hani Olos Ninhu. Right. So if we have that framework of Maisa Chatsa versus Kiyum, so now let's just take a minute and try to apply it to Minchas Chote. And then how are we going to understand the Minchas Chote? So we'll say, oh, in terms of the Maisa Hakrava, what is it? It's a Mincha. In terms of the Chafta Shal Karban, it's a Mincha. In terms of the Kiyum, it is a Chatas. Right? So we could think of, let's say, the Chatas Nachshon and the Minchas Chote as opposites. Right? The Chatas Nachshon, the Chafta is a Chatas, it's brought as a Chatas, but its kiyum is not kapara. And minchas chote is the opposite. Minchas chote, bechavta it's a mincha, hakrava is a mincha, and the kiyum is lachaper, and therefore, right, it's going to have a psul shel lishma because it has the kiyum of chapas. And so then, you know, what's left for you to do is, you know, you're going to ask, okay, so what dinim are going to hinge on the Minchas Chote having a kiyum of chatas, and what dinim are going to hinge on the fact that it has, you know, bechavtza and the maisak rava are those of a mincha. So let us talk about two. One, the machlokas between the Minchas Chinuch and the Mikdash David. Minchas Chinuch, as it classically does, gives an awesome nafkamina, right? Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is that there are five chataos hamesos. Right, if the owner dies, if the owner got kapara from something else, etc. So the halacha Moshe Sinai is that the chatas dies. Okay, so what is the story with a minchas chote whose owner dies? Would we apply the halacha Moshe Sinai from chatas and say that the minchas chote, I assume the equivalent of dying is that it should rot, right? Just, you know, let it become moldy and disintegrate. In other words, apply the dinim of chatas to minchas chote. Or would we say no? Halacha Moshe Sinai only applied to karbanos which were a chavtza shel chatas, and not to the minchas chote, which, you know, may have the kiyum of chatas, but bechavtza it's a mincha. Well, Minchas Chinuch writes, he says, I think that the halacha Moshe Sinai is not going to apply. And if you have someone who was chayav a minchas chote, and then they designated it, and they passed away, he says, okay, the Yorshim will bring it as an adava. Yorshim will just bring the mincha. Mikdash David disagrees. The footnotes quote the stipler who disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch. We saw the Nesivas HaKodesh, right? Who agrees with the Minchas Chinuch. But That Machlokes Achronim, we can say, just revolves around this very basic point, right? The Minchas Chote is a chavtza shel mincha with the kiyum of chatas, and so which dine chatas fall, you know, depend on the chavtza, and which dine chatas depend on the kiyum. You know, just to help clarify it, because what's the next question the Minchas Chinuch asks? He says, okay, the halacha is if you have a mumar for a certain avera, so the mumar cannot bring a carbon chatas for the avera that he's chayav for, which makes a lot of sense, right? If you have a mumar for achilas chaylev, so he can't bring a chatas, you know, if he unintentionally ate a piece of chaylev, right? Had he known it was chaylev, he would have said, okay, zayg zent, right? You know, but you know, he didn't know it was chaylev. It happens to be he didn't know, so he ate it. So halacha is he doesn't bring a carbon for that unintentional consumption of chaylev. So what about a minchas chote, right? So a minchas chinuch assumes, it's like, here we're for sure going to say that just like the mumar doesn't bring a chatas, he's not going to bring a minchas chote either. And that makes a lot of sense, right? Because what's driving that halacha, that a mumar can't bring a chatas that he's chayav for? Clearly, it's the kiyum, right? You're going to get kapara for an avera in which you're still a mumar? That's crazy, right? So there we certainly will say that the Minchas Chote is going to have the same halacha as a chatas. So, shelo l'shma will depend on the kiyum. Mumar depend on the kiyum. halacha l'moshe sinai chataos hamesos, that can be maybe what exactly is this machlokas achronim. What does it depend on? And then the last piece for this is this very surprising ruling of the Rambam, right? About the question of mosar minchas chote. So again, we have this halacha that if you designated funds for a carbon, right, and then the market went down, right, so the leftovers are brought for a nedava, the olos go to the mizbeach, and the high goes to the kohen. So the Mishnah in Shkalim says they had a whole bunch of pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash, right, and each one was designated for a different set of funds. And the Mishnah says that they had six shofros, right, they had six pushkas, which were there for people to bring their money for their extra nedavas, right? The Mishnah does not specify what exactly those shofros, right? Why do you have six? What exactly were they for? So the Gemara in Menachos on Kuf Zayin Obeid, Kuf Chasim and Aleph, brings a few different views in the Amoraim. The main two is that it was for specific karbanos. So even the views in the Amoraim are enlightening. So Shmuel says it's for Mosar Chatas is one, Mosar Asham is two, Asham Nazir is three, Asham Mitzora is four, Minchas Chote is five, and then interestingly, the Minchas Chavisin, the daily carbon that the Kohen Gadol would bring, is number six. Right? It's interesting that Shmuel thinks that the Minchas Chote would get a different box than regular carbon chatas. Right? That's just, you know, point to ponder. Rabbi Oshia basically agrees with Shmuel, except Rabbi Oshia thinks you have to sub out the chavisin. He thinks the chavisin wasn't a chatas at all. He puts in kinin instead. He puts in birds, which Shmuel had really already agreed to. Fine. Bottom line, what matters for us is that you look at the Gemara in Kufches. Everyone's assuming that the minchas chote is in the club, right? There's a box in the Beis HaMikdash for your extra minchas chote funds, which are going to go to communal olos. Which makes sense, because it's just like a chatas. Just like a chatas, the extra money goes to olos for ketzim mizbeach, so to minchas chote. But that is not the view of the Rambam, right? Rambam shkalim beis. So he tells you the six. Minchas chote is not on there. Instead, he puts in someone who had promised to bring a certain amount of money for Olas Behema. And then Pesudah Mekdashin, Hey Ches, the Rambam says, what do you do with Mosar Minchas Chote? He says, you bring it as a personal Minchas Nidav. Instead of bringing the money to the Beis HaMikdash and putting it in the Pushka, which they will then collect all those funds and buy communal Olos, the Ram, like you do for your extra money from your Chatas or for your Asham, the Rambam says for Minchas Chote, you just keep the money to yourself, and you bring a personal, voluntary mincha with the extra money. So, Mefarshim go crazy over this. Merkavas the Mishnah Kodah before tries to read it back into the Gemara somehow. The Sfas Emes also tries to, but says it's not tenable in the Gemara. Sfas Emes is Tzarchin, I don't know what's going on. There's a Grizz who has a whole piece on this that I didn't really understand. But for another time. But the Mikdash David, I think, has maybe the most basic answer, which can also be important for our purposes. And Mikdash David develops a theory. He says...
Where is Mikdash
David? Mikdash David is in... I also put it down. It's on the sheet. I want to say the beginning of Yud Tes. I think it's the Yud Tes Aleph, I'm pretty sure. He has a whole chapter on Mosros. That's Yud Tes. I'm pretty sure it's Yud Tes Aleph. Okay, good. So Megatavit says, look, we're doing something kind of strange with all these Mosros. The whole institution of Mosros is strange in that I had designated money for a chatas, and now it's being brought as an ola. I designated money for an asham, and now it's being brought for an ola. So Mishnah proposes, we'll only cross over from one min to another, and only cross over to olos when you're not able to bring the original form of the carbon. Right? So if I have extra chatas money, what am I going to do? Bring a voluntary chatas? That doesn't exist. Right? So that once that's the case, then you cross over to ola. Right? I was going to bring, I can't bring voluntary ashem, so then I'm going to cross over to ola. So Mikdash David says, maybe that's what's going on, the story over here. Minchas Chote, okay, we'd rather than have you cross over to ola, we'll have you bring it as a personal Minchas Nedava instead. That's the Mikdash David's proposal. He thinks why the Rambam chose the Paschal like that to Sefta. Because that's what he thought. Uncomfortable idea of crossing over from min to min. He also asks, he's like, you know, so...
Sorry, one second. What? Being in Minchas Chote, the difference is between Sibor and Yachadil, right? Meaning that's the only difference in
Minchas Chote...
You're bringing Minchas Nedava. The question is... Meaning,
so option
A is it goes to the shofar in the
option A is it'll go to dollar. Communal olos, and option B it will go to personal minchas nedava, right? Now, you know, we should point out personal minchas nedava is also jumping from minchas chote, right? We're now adding shemen and lavona to the mix, and in fact. The Mikdash David also notices that the Rambam never mentioned Mosar Minchas Kanaos, except unlike the Merkavas HaMishnah, Mikdash David suggests, oh, well, you know, Minchas Kanaos, there's no parallel voluntary institution, because, like, it's such a unique carbon, barley, as we discussed, so you're not going to transfer that to personal Mincha, so that'll become a communal Ola. Mikdash David suggests Minchas Chote, personal Mincha. Minchas Kenos, it's a huge gap to cross to make it a personal Mincha. Instead, it's actually, you know, we'll just have it become a communal Ola instead. But what then emerges from his understanding of the Rambam, right, where does Minchas Chote and Minachos in general lie on the spectrum? So you sense, right, there's a gap between the world of Menachos and the world of Zvachim. And according to Shabbat, the Rambam says, it's closer to bring Minchas Chote to Minchas Nedava, right, than to bring it to Ola. So just to sum up, right, we had the Mishnah in the beginning of Menachos have a psul shalol lishma for both Minchas Chote and Minchas Kenos, but when we really delve into it, these two korbanos seem completely different. Minchas Kenos seems to be a totally different chavtza entirely, while the Minchas Chote is this fascinating, you know, crossover example where the chavtza is a mincha, the kiyum is a chatas, and then you have to probe, right, when we care about the chavtza, when we care about the kiyum. How? What's the relationship between Menachos and Zvachim, Menachos and Ola, and that's that. Okay, good luck, everybody.